Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, my sports editor. He's my boss, my friend. He's with me. And before we get started, for those of you watching, you can see. For those of you listening, Jay is wearing his UCLA hat, a sometimes proud alum of UCLA, and a lot to be proud of today. So before we start our first regular season edition of the Hot Lava Podcast, Jay, congratulations to the Bruins.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm still in a little bit of shock over what happened.
Quite the run, right? This is serious Cinderella.
Absolutely, which is so weird. I've seen people write, it's very odd that UCLA is the Cinderella and Gonzaga is the heavy favorite. It's like, who would have ever imagined that a few years ago? But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I certainly don't expect it to continue beyond Saturday, but it's good to be back in the Final Four with the alma mater. So
then you can concentrate on baseball season after that.
I'm ready, more than ready for baseball season. And congratulations to you. It looks like you are no longer ensconced in the Peoria Town Place Suites.
Yes, or the media room where the lights will go out in 5 minutes.
I hope your wife paid the electric bill while you were gone, and your lights won't go off while we're doing the show here today.
Let's be honest, she takes care of everything whether I'm here or I'm gone. So if anybody knows me, that yeah. I want to cover what I think the weaknesses are, what I think the worries are, because we spent a lot of time this spring, and it's the time to do it, right? We broke down some concerns, but optimism has obviously been huge with the Padres this year. I want to talk about some of the concerns, but first, Jay, to me, not black cloud, but the thing that you have to be aware of as you go into this season as a Padres fan is you are in the same division as the Los Angeles Dodgers. You look at the Pecota projections, you look at any of the odds. We're talking about the Padres being projected to win 95, 96 games. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. That wins four of the other five divisions, and you're right there with the Yankees if you're in the AL East, right? But you're 7-8 games behind the Dodgers based on projections in the NL West. It's kind of unbelievable.
And I also think there are people, I subscribe to Joe Sheehan's newsletter, a very good writer who's done some work with Sports Illustrated and other places. And he had a couple suggestions. I was in one of his newsletters today or yesterday about over-under bets. And the Dodgers were like at, I don't know, 103 or 102 something like that. And he was like, one of his best bets was over on Dodger wins, and he's only giving out like recommendations for wagers when it's over like seven wins on one side or the other of his projections.
Wow.
So he has the Dodgers winning like 111 games or something like that. And you know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that could happen. I think one of the concerns that he mentioned is that when it gets into September, the Dodgers could be so far in front that, you know, they start pitching, the starters start, you know, go four innings and guys start getting rested and maybe they lose some games there. But I think the Dodgers are without question, well, they have been a juggernaut. I mean, they've won this division 8 years in a row, and there's no reason to think that they're going to come back to the pack in any way. And so even if the Padres do have the type of season that everyone is projecting and everyone here is certainly expecting and hoping for, as you said, 95 wins is a lot of wins. Padres have done that, I believe, once in their history, right? Maybe twice.
In 98.
Right. And how many? In 84, I can't even remember how many games they won. But
I have a 96 somewhere in my memory. But yeah, they haven't done 95 very often. All right?
Yeah, so they're in that position. And again, I think it's a good reflection of how good they are and yet how far they kind of have to go. And the biggest issue with that, and we've touched on it a little bit, is you don't win the division. Now the playoffs, if they stay with the same format that they're going to, you're in a one-game playoff. Yep. And you might be seeing Jacob deGrom or Strasburg or, you know, Max Fried of all people could come back to haunt them. And, you know, look, the Padres might be the better team. They might get home field advantage.
One game.
You could get one game against the Pirates and lose it probably one out of three times. So that's the one thing that sort of hovers over this whole season, like you said, is that at some point, they're going to have to beat the Dodgers. They're going to have to either beat out the Dodgers, which is a little bit hard to see happening, or they're going to have to survive this one game playoff and then get to a series against the Dodgers and try to beat them in a best of five.
So we didn't want to start it on a downer, but that's just the reality to be aware of as you go into the season. And there'll be certain times throughout the season where we're talking about, okay, so where are they in relation to the Dodgers? And as they get late, how are they going to set up for this wild card? Or how are they going to set up for this division title race that comes down when they play the Dodgers? I think it is like nine times in September. So anyway, that is where right, I think it starts.
And obviously that would be sort of a best case scenario would be where mm-hmm. you got a chance to beat out the Dodgers and avoid that one game playoff. And not saying it can't happen, because it certainly can. But if you believe the projections and in some cases, I guess, believe your eyes, maybe, I think the Dodgers have a better team right now than the Padres. But we've said many times, that's why you play the games. Just to point out what you mentioned about basketball earlier, I mean, UCLA wasn't expected to win any. They've won five games in this tournament. They were underdogs in four of them. So things happen in sports. And so the Padres winning the West is not out of the question, but it's a bit of a stretch to me to see that happening, or at least to predict it happening.
To me, and I'm assuming to a lot of people, it's the starting rotation, the bullpen to some extent, but the starting rotation of the Dodgers, like, hey, at some point, Clayton Kershaw is going to turn into Madison Bumgarner, okay? But they just put David Price in the bullpen and Dustin May in the rotation. The depth that the Dodgers have in their pitching is superior to anyone. I would say, and this is where we'll do the magic segue into what the concerns for the Padres are, and to me it starts with how are they going to fill innings? And the Padres may have one of the top three rotations in baseball. There are innings concerns. I'll skip over you, Darvish. Blake Snell is a 5 1/3 inning guy. Can he be more than that? We'll find out this year, because he's not on the Tampa Bay Rays anymore. Mm-hmm. Joe Musgrove threw 40 innings last year. He's thrown 170 once in his career. Adrian Morejon has thrown 29 1/3 innings in his major league career. Chris Paddock, I'm just going to do just pant on an air question mark right now. Did you know what that was, Jay, when I did it?
Yeah. I saw it, but I don't think a lot of people would see that. But yeah,
he's just a question mark. All right.
Absolutely.
So, hey, like I said, this is a fantastic rotation. It is arguably, and I've done the research, it is arguably the best rotation that the Padres have had at least since 98 and probably arguably ever, at least going into a season, possibly. I think Joe Musgrove, man, if that's your number three starter and he pitches like he did for much of the spring and he throws strikes with that stuff he has, that's a heck of a starter right there.
Well, Blake Snell didn't. He's your number four starter. If everything goes well with the Nelson Lamet,
there you go. But think about it.
You're four.
When Musgrove, when Lamet comes back, which should be fourth week of April, I give myself a 2 week window there. Their tentative plan, third, fourth week of April. Mm-hmm. When Lamet comes back, he ain't going seven right away.
Right.
So, so you've got a bunch of 1 and 2 inning guys. That's great. A lot of these guys in the bullpen are built up to 2 innings. But you know what? It's not spring training anymore. And look, this is just how you talk about and you cover a team that is in the division with the Dodgers and has a chance to unseat them. It's not spring training anymore, Ryan Weathers, Nabil, Chris, Matt. We don't know exactly what these guys can do. I think that it is incredibly impressive what Ryan Weathers has done and what Chris Matt has done to get to this point. They have Keone Kella, I think, has thrown 30 innings in the last 2 years. I think two of them were last season. There's questions about the health, the durability and of this bullpen. They're going to get Pierce Johnson and Austin Adams back pretty soon, provided there aren't setbacks. But I don't have as many questions about the offense as I do about how are they going to fill these innings with this pitching staff?
No, I agree with all of that. I mean, I think Darvish is the one, I don't have any concerns about Darvish. I don't have any concerns about Snell. I do think he can be at least, the Padres are going to give him a chance to be a 6 or 7 inning guy. We'll see if he is. Don't really have any concerns about Musgrove, but almost everyone else, including the bullpen, you can come up with a reason why you could be worried. And, We talked about Paddock. Morihone hasn't done it over a long period of time. Lamet, there's always going to be the issue with his elbow that you're going to be thinking about the entire season. No matter how good he pitches, to me, it's always going to be in the back of my mind about that. You know, Drew Pomerantz had an issue this spring. Emilio Pagan had an issue last year, although he seemed to be okay in the spring. You mentioned Kila, Ryan Weathers, Chris Matt, those guys haven't done it at this level. Mark Melanson, how, you know, he's getting up there in years. Does he still have it? Chances are pretty good that he does. But again, it's a little bit of an issue there. You know, Pierce Johnson was, I didn't really consider him much of a question, but he's missed time. You know, he's missed time. Austin Adams coming back from an injury. I mean, that's a lot of guys that we've mentioned that you have questions about.
Be very excited about Austin Adams, because let me tell you something. When Austin Adams pitched live BP the other day, it was most of the team's best players, hitters out there getting their last hacks of the spring.
Right.
No one wanted to face Austin Adams. You don't. That's typical across. Mike Trout could have been out there. Juan Soto could have been out there. But the last thing you want to do is, he was the last pitcher in this series of frontline relievers doing BP, throwing BP. The last thing you want to do is walk away from spring training having faced Austin Adams. That guy is filthy. Now, he needs to find the strike zone. He hasn't done it over a long time. He hasn't pitched much recently because of the ACL. But that guy could be the closer by the end of the year. And I'm a huge Emilio Pagan guy. But exciting, but questions.
Right. And all, like I said, and all the guys that I mentioned that there's questions about, there's also a huge upside.
Huge.
For all of those guys. I mean, Drew Pomerantz didn't give up a run last year until his last outing. Pagan has saved 20 games in a season and has been excellent. You know, we've seen Melanson do it for years and years. Pierce Johnson was very good. So again, there's all upside to there, but you also have to, you know, think about the questions as you're talking about, because I don't think there's a huge margin for error. I mean, you know, 95 games, yeah, you're going to be in the playoffs. You win 90 games, you know, I don't know. Are you getting the second wild card there? Maybe. Maybe not. You got to look at the Braves. You got to look at the Braves. I mean, I don't think the Central's very good. But if you look at the East and you've got the Mets and the Braves and the Phillies and maybe the Nationals as well, because they've got a lot of talent, you know, only one of those teams is going to win the division. You're going to be in a race with probably the other three.
Which brings us to this, Jay, before we get to the Diamondbacks and we'll go over the pitching matchups and all that. The start of the season, 24 games in 25 days. Talk about filling innings. But also, let me see here. Diamondbacks, Giants, Rangers, Pirates.
Yep.
I'm not saying this season is over if they're 4-15 after that.
You can't have one of those starts from a few years ago. But they got to win some games early.
When you face the Dodgers 19 times, and with what you just said about wanting to get to that, you know, well over 90 wins, you crush teams like this. You go in, and anything less than 3-4 in Pittsburgh, anything less than 2-3 in Texas, 3-4 in this opening series, you know, anything less than that is disappointing for a team that is an aspirant to the World Series. Now, it happens throughout the year. The Red Sox, I remember a couple years ago when they won the World Series, like they lost like 6 in a row to like the Tigers and, you know, White Sox at the time, It happens. But generally speaking, this stretch that the Padres start out with is one where you go, you're feeling good about this team at the end of that stretch.
Right. It's 14 games before they play that stretch against the Dodgers and Brewers.
9-5.
Something
like that.
And again, if they're 7-7, it doesn't mean that the season's over or anything like that. But it is, you don't want to be looking back at the end of the year and say, boy, we went 7-7 in that stretch instead of 10-4. And those three games came back to haunt us. So it is important for them to get off to a quick start. And it does seem to be set up to do that, you know, facing a team like Arizona, whose best pitcher isn't even available.
Yep.
In Zach Gallen. So they're throwing Bumgarner in the opener against Darvish. You would obviously make the Padres a heavy favorite
Third opener in a row, and the Padres have won the previous two against him. Third opener in a row, they're facing Madison Bumgarner.
Right, right. and now they have Yu Darvish pitching, whereas the last 2 years, I think it was Lauer and Paddock. So you've got a big upgrade there when you're starting the series with Darvish and Snell and Musgrove.
That's the other thing. That you're going into every series, or not every series, but most series where you're throwing Darvish and Snell. So when you're facing the Pirates, you're thinking, we just won two games. So that's the thing, is every night you go in and you're like, Yu Darvish doesn't even have to pitch his best game, to beat a lot of these teams. So that's what they have. Hey, before we get into those, I realize that, and it's probably because I've just talked about it so much, that we've skipped over Austin Nola and Trent Grisham. Mm-hmm. If they're not back by the first road trip, so after the first seven games, I think the organization will be shocked. They could be back before that. They could be back for the Giants series. Once they get into games and they can be at the alternate site, and I believe they'll be here for opening day. The games don't start there. They did like this deep clean of the Peoria Sports Complex. They bring some minor leaguers in, start playing games against other teams, I think Friday or Saturday. So once those guys start playing, boom, 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 get a bunch of at-bats, and they'll be back. So no worries there for that. Now, is it a worry that Luis Campusano's caught 142 games in the minors, none above high A, Lake Elsinore? He'll be catching Blake Snell in game two? I mean, it's not your best-case scenario, but it happens, and he's supposed to be your second-best position prospect, the untouchable catching prospect, second-best catching prospect in baseball. He did make a lot of improvement this spring, so there's the update on those.
And why? How did they land on him catching Snell in game two?
That's how they worked. The last two, I believe, Snell starts. It was definitely the last one, and he actually was Campusano's best game. I bet you that Snell worked with him really hard. I mean, Snell is a team guy. Snell and Musgrove seem to have taken a great interest in working with Luis Campusano this spring. And Victor Caratini's caught. He hasn't caught two games in a row very often. Right. He hasn't caught three games. He's caught three games in a row once in his career. So you're going to see him catch, let's say it's the seven games. You're going to see him catch four, maybe five of those. So you're going to put Campusano in then, and they worked him with Snell, and I think that's a good one. Now, Musgrove also worked with Campusano a lot, but his stuff can be a little trickier to catch. So maybe that's why they want to put Caratini there with Musgrove on day three.
I was going to say, because whoever catches game three is not going to catch game four, you wouldn't think.
Yes.
Day game, night game stuff. So, it was just something that it struck me. And then with Grisham out, who bats leadoff tomorrow? Is it Tommy Pham?
I think it's Tatis. I think it's Tatis, and you've got Pham maybe third, maybe fifth. But I think it's Tatis. And then an interesting one to me is Machado. You know, batting second, it could be Pham. But he moved Machado up second in spring. Hosmer's going to be in the cleanup spot. So probably then Myers, fifth, Cronenworth, left, right, left, Profar.
Profar. So,
Yeah.
It's interesting to see how that works. I mean, I think the ideal would be to have Tatis hit second and Machado third.
And put Pham up there at the top.
For as much as you can. And I think if Tommy Pham's going to be Tommy Pham.
Would you go into the season assuming he is?
Yeah, why not put him up there to get things going? And
they did that quite a bit. Let's just remember that Jurickson and Profar batted cleanup the opener last year. I never know what Jace Tingler's going to do.
Right. Well, and I mean, Profar could hit leadoff too. I mean, it's not totally out of the question.
The Profar of the last month of last season could, yes.
Absolutely. So they have a lot of options. And I won't be surprised at all if it's Tatis tomorrow and part of that sort of opening day, who would you want to sort of kick things off type of thing. But doesn't mean he's going to do it all the time.
I don't think so.
Certainly, when Grisham comes back.
I believe that the early plan before Grisham got hurt was that Grisham was going to be your leadoff guy most of the time. I don't know that it was going to be like last year. The last month of last year went left, right strictly. Right, right. And they really like Grisham and the at-bats he gives you. It's really old school, you know? Oh, hey, leadoff guy goes up there and shows us nine pitches so that we see what this pitcher's got. And, you know, pitcher's pissed off after, you know, one batter. And that's – it's real old school that way. I believe it's Grisham. But, you know, again, I never know what Jace Tingler's going to do.
And is it too early to talk about what happens to the bench guys when those guys do come back? I mean, obviously, Campusano would be – he would be gone when Nola comes back.
And then it's Marcano or Mateo. And I'm telling you, they love Tucapita Marcano. They call him a winning player. That's an organizational term, a winning player. First off, he plays a pretty, I don't know if it's plus defense at all these guys. I'm not a scout, but he plays a pretty good defense for a bench guy at six positions. That's right. Pretty good. And does he have Mateo's speed? No, but heck, is Mateo's speed like game speed, or we don't know that yet. We don't know if Mateo can steal a base when he's put in there late in the game and everyone in the world knows that he's going to steal. I mean, that's an art to itself, right? So it's between those two guys is what you would think once Grisham comes back. But it won't be very long. It's awesome. I mean, what a story. Tucapita Marcano just shocked everybody. He forced – the Padres didn't think this guy was going to make it. They started bringing him off the bench. He's facing major leaguers. Oh, my gosh. He's got to be on the team. And that's awesome. The opening day roster will change on the fourth day or fifth day roster.
Right, right.
If not before with some reliever.
That's probably true. Right. I mean, if some reliever has to go three or four innings in game two or something, then you might see somebody else come up right away for the next game. What are we going to see from the Diamondbacks?
All right. So we already talked about Yu Darvish and Madison Bumgarner. You got Merrill Kelly going against Snell in game two. This guy won both of his starts against the Padres last year in August, like within an 8-day span. He allowed one run in 12 and two thirds innings in those two starts. So they actually faced some guys who've done pretty well against them, because in game three, it's Caleb Smith. Who didn't pitch against them last year, but has a history of doing pretty well against them, Smith and Musgrove on Saturday. And then the assumption is that it would be Chris Paddock on Sunday against Taylor Widener. I believe that I'm saying that right, because he has been a bullpen guy. I got to be honest, not a guy I've paid a whole bunch of attention to, but he pitched pretty well out of the bullpen for them last year. So that's what we got. We got Darvish, Bumgarner, Snell, Kelly, Musgrove, Smith, Paddock, and Widener. And again, they miss Zach Gallen. The Padres and it looks like everybody else for a few weeks will not have to face Zach Gallen, who would have been their opening day starter had he not had the forearm. I guess it's a hairline fracture in his forearm.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Three of these pitchers made their major league debut against the Padres? Madison Bumgarner, Merrill Kelly, Caleb Smith all made their major league debuts against the Padres.
You are a fountain of minutia today.
Minutia is one of my little pleasures of this job. And I hope there's at least a few people out there that love minutia like me.
Right, right.
So,
well,
anyway.
I'm one of them, for whatever that's worth. Which
fortunate for me.
Yeah.
You know, I think, Jay, I think we covered it. You saved me with that question about the bench guys, because I did want to talk about them. Jorge Mateo came up as an infielder, improved so much in the outfield this spring. Great story, he and Marcano. One of them will be here for 3 or 4 or 5 days. So that's what it is.
And they'll be back at some point.
And they'll be back.
You know, after that. So, well, it's something to look forward to. And I know everybody's been waiting since the end of last season for this season to start, and certainly since those couple
December
days
28th.
in late December when Darvish and Snell were acquired. So it's finally almost here, and one day from now, and opening day won't be quite what it used to be, but it also won't be what it was last year either. So
I'm
be closer
fascinated.
To what it used to be. It'll be closer to what it used to be than what it was last year. And I think it'll be fun for people who are out there. I'm looking forward to getting out there later in the weekend. Hopefully the fans that are listening will get a chance to either be out there or be able to watch all the games on the new Bally Sports San Diego, which don't panic when you see that. It's just, it's in the same place as Fox Sports San Diego. Unfortunately, it's not on YouTube TV, which and the other streaming services, which I know is causing a lot of
consternation. I suppose we should mention, you know, there's a little, as we tape this on Wednesday, late Wednesday morning, there's more than 24 hours for the union and the league to make our talk about the one game playoff moot. They could expand the playoffs and they could add the designated hitter. So I suppose we should talk about that. But it does not seem that that's going to happen. But, you know, whatever.
That would be
huge
so,
for the Padres.
That would be so baseball that. If that happened. But,
well, so. We appreciate everybody joining us, and we'll talk to you again here before every series of the season. And you can always catch the newsletter. You know, couldn't go a hot lava without plugging the newsletter.
Got to
sign up for that.
Absolutely. Got to plug the newsletter, and we'll wish everyone a safe holiday weekend as well, and a happy opening weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Thank you.